the shadow of death. Amen? Amen. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Here's a little statement here. I want to, and then we'll get right into Corinthians. Again, not like, this isn't like airtight theology, just kind of like a more of a concept as I was working on this. I felt like this thought came to my mind. It's like this miracles or encounters or whatever, right, are intended generally to reveal to us who God is, right? To reveal who God is to us. We're like, whoa, that's God. Wow, right? Time in the quarry is intended to reveal who God is in us. So the encounters are like, whoa, there's God, right? That's who he is to us. Time in the quarry is revealing who God is in us. He starts stripping all the junk away out of our hearts and says, look, I didn't call you to live over here. I called you to be a son. I called you to be a king and a priest. I've called you to walk in authority and power. Amen? Is that all right? 1 Corinthians 12, 31. We're going to touch on this last verse of chapter 12 and then get into chapter 13 for the morning. Let's all read this together. Look what he says here. Last statement in chapter 12, he says this, church, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. But then look at the next statement. And I show you a still more, everybody say it together, a still more excellent way. Right? Now, think about this. I say this quite often, but again, I think we have this tendency to kind of fall back into a lot of mindsets that aren't really bad. We're just missing stuff, okay? So the Bible, when Paul wrote this letter, there's not chapters in it. There's no verses in this letter, right? So this was not, when Paul wrote this letter, he didn't intend them to read this particular statement and then like close the letter and say, oh, I'm going to read the rest of it tomorrow as if it's a different topic. That's what we do. Can I get amen, right? We read to the end of a chapter. We're like, okay, chapter 3 done. Close it up and just move on. The problem is, my beloved, is so many thoughts in the Bible go through chapter breaks. Thoughts will change in the middle of a chapter. And you understand what I'm saying, right? It's like asking the Holy Spirit as you're reading the word to say, Len, help me see when a shift happens here, right? We need to read through chapter breaks. They did the best they could do, right, when they broke it all up for us. So us weird English people can, like, read it like we think it makes sense. Can I get amen, right? But we need to start asking this Holy Spirit, let me read until I see the thought be concluded. Can I get amen? Amen. So think about this. The last thing Paul says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. To me, if I read that, I'm like, let's keep reading. If he's telling the church, right, not the ministry, he's telling the church, earnestly desire the greater gifts, but I'm going to show you something even better than that. Amen. Think about this. We'll touch on this maybe today, see how we go on time, but if you go down into 1 Corinthians 14, Paul makes it very clear that the greater gift he's speaking about is the gift of prophecy. All right, so when he says, earnestly desire the greatest gift, he's really talking about prophecy and the prophetic gifts. Because he says that one who speaks in tongues edifies himself in 1 Corinthians 14, but he says one who prophesies edifies the church. Right? One of the things that we have twisted, I think, a little bit, at least a little, maybe a little more than a little bit, in the church in America, is that we fail to comprehend in general, right, that spiritual gifts are intended to build the church. Not a church, not River Valley, the church, right? Including River Valley. Can I get amen, right? Gifts are not for me to become a superstar. But boy, we like that, don't we, in a church? We got our favorite preachers and our favorite worship leaders and our faith. We're attracted to that so much. But think about it. I've been reading through the book of Acts quite a bit. And every time that Jesus is trying to be, they try to kind of put Jesus on a pedestal, what's he do? He shrinks into the crowd. When Paul and Barnabas are in Lystra And he starts preaching, and there's a guy that's been laying from his mother's womb. Paul prays, lays hands on this guy, and he's immediate. He jumps up, and his feet are made well. And they start worshiping Paul and Barnabas, but Paul doesn't know what they're doing, is because he doesn't know the language. So somebody comes and tells Paul and Barnabas, look, they're calling Barnabas Zeus, and they call Paul, I think Hermes is this Greek god that they had in mythology, because Paul is the one talking. And when Paul and Barnabas realize that they're like worshiping them, like, wow, you guys are so awesome. It says that Paul and Barnabas run into the crowd, tear their clothes and say, no, don't worship us. We're men just like you. What you're seeing is the kingdom of God in your midst. When's the last time we saw a celebrity preacher tearing his clothes on a Sunday morning? Hey, I'm just like you. Can I get amen? God's going after some stuff. Is that all right? So the point here, my beloved, if you look at what Paul's saying there in that verse, is he's saying anybody can prophesy. Should have got one amen. Anybody can prophesy. You know what else is a prophetic gift? Words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Those are prophetic gifts, right? It's just, I hear the Spirit of God tells me something. No way I should know that. No way I should know that, and I just know it, right? And a lot of times we get scared because we're like, what if I say something wrong and all these things? You know what? If your heart is right with God and you say something a little off, that's what's called grace. Is that all right, church? 1 Corinthians 13, here we have, you know what Paul's giving us in chapter 13? The more excellent way. So we earnestly desire gifts, but then Paul's like, but here's the more excellent way. Let's read the whole chapter. We're just going to move through it here. Then we'll go back and teach a little bit. He says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of what, church? That's, what kind of gift is that one? The greater gift, right? If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and knowledge, right? Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Oh. Ouch. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me. Wow. Verse 4, love is patient. Let's all say it together. Come on, most of us probably know this one, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, what kind of gift is prophecy, church? The greater gift, right? Paul's like, look, if you want to go after a gift, that's the one to go after. But then he says, but look it, prophecy is going to come to an end, right? If there are gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there's knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, and reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. Let's think about something for a minute here. In what setting do we typically hear this read? At a wedding, right? You know a secret? Paul's not talking about a wedding right here. He's not talking about a marriage. Right? Yep. It's good advice for a marriage. Can I get amen, right? If you're married, who's married here? If you're married and you apply this to your marriage, it's probably going to go pretty good, right? Lots of marital counseling in there for sure. But Paul ain't talking about getting married. Paul is talking about how we function in the church. Amen. As I was working on this, I remembered a funeral that I attended several years ago at a church that probably most of us would categorize as like a dead church. Is that okay to say that, right? Come on, we've heard that, right? Oh, that church is just dead. What a dead church, you know? Mainline kind of a denomination, right? And it was an interesting time. It was a good friend of mine. His mom had passed away, and so we went to the funeral at this church. And anybody ever ministered at a funeral before? I know Pastor L has, right? Pastor L, agree? Would you agree with me? Isn't that the hardest place to minister? Hands down, because you're trying to bring comfort into a situation where sometimes you don't even really know anything about the person that's passed away. Right? I don't know where their faith is. I don't know what's going on with them. And so you're in this situation where you're trying to bring comfort and you're trying to bring some hope and you're trying to, but knowing the word of God, it's like, I can't, oh, well, you know, hey, Bob's in a better place. I don't know if he is or he isn't. Right? Was Bob a Christian? They're like, I don't know. I'm like, well, then I don't know either. I hope he is, but, right? But it's so awkward because you're trying to, like, can I get amen, right? Have you, any of you ever talked to someone and you're trying to encourage them, but you're like, not sure where they're at, right? And so as I listened to this minister up there, I just was like, oh, my skin was crawling because this guy's saying stuff that I'm like, man, that is not in the Bible, bro. Like, yikes. And I feel bad for the guy because I know how he feels, right? He's trying to like, and so I'm like, I'm sitting here and listening to this just going like, oh man, Lord, I just want to go home. I don't like this at all. And whatever, but then it's weird because there was like a service going on and there was like a family leaving at the same time. Like, I don't know, it was a weird kind of a setup. And so at the end of service, this family gets up and they're moving out of state or whatever. And they start talking and they're like, oh my God. And they start crying. And they're saying, we're going to miss this church so much and all this stuff. And I'm sitting there and this is what they said. And it's funny, the Lord brought this back to me yesterday as I was finishing these notes up. They're up there and they go, this is what they said. They said, they're crying so hard. And they said, I'll never find another church like this. And I remember I'm right in the front row and I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, there's a church like this right down the street. There's churches like this all over the place. Dead, right? Dead as a doornail. Nothing going on. But as I thought about this, this came back to me last night. The Lord said to me, she's not talking about the church. She's talking about the people. There's a real love here. And she's saying, I don't know if I'm ever going to find this again. And it struck me, and the Holy Spirit convicted me so bad, I was like, Lord, forgive me for even thinking what I thought at that moment in time. Anybody feel convicted right now? Because you know what? Churches like ours, I'm going to look over here. Churches like ours, we think we see the anointing, and we're like, wow, church is full of life. Except somebody gets offended, they just leave the church. Where's the love there? Because guess what the Greek word is in this entire chapter every time? Is agape. Not phileo. Phileo is it's like an emotionally based love, right? If you've developed a friendship with somebody, or even a husband and a wife, right? There's a couple other Greek words used in there as well, but phileo is based on emotions, right? We have mutual things that we like, and I like spending time with you, and I like hanging out with you, and we Can I get amen, right, church? But agape, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Agapeo is the word there, right? It's the verb, which is actually the root form of that word in the Greek. So think about this. If it's agape, agape, what agape really is, my beloved, is a commitment to someone else's well-being at the cost of my own. Agape, I'm committed to your well-being at the cost of my own. I've heard several preachers say, hey, put your name in that chapter every time it says love. Mark is patient. Uh-oh. Mark is kind. Uh-oh. Yikes. Is this all right, church? I knew it was going to be quiet in here this morning. Man. We're talking about, we've been talking about all this whole year so far, about finishing the wall. And my beloved, I think we can look too much into, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts next Sunday, and I'm really feel the Spirit of the Lord talking to me about, let's figure out how to, some of us know what our spiritual gifts are, some of us don't. Some of us are just starting to figure it out and going like, I don't even know what do I do with it now? I'm starting to see it, but I don't even know what to do. How does this work? How's this work in the church? How's this work in my life? What do I don't understand. What do I do with it, right? I think we're going to look into some real practical stuff, you know, maybe on a Saturday or something, and get together and talk about it and have a seminar and do some teaching and whatever, and figure out how to activate this, because that's what builds the church up, right? But even think about Ephesians 4:16, which is one of the spots we see that. When every joint supplies, the church will build itself up in anointing. Ah, it doesn't say that, does it? It's going to build itself up in power. Yeah, it builds itself up in love. Agape. Agape. Wow. It's like, think about this, man. It's like love is the mortar that's holding all the bricks together. Right? Does this make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 14:1. I'm going to be short today, everybody. Shorter. Maybe. I could preach a long time on this one, but I'm trying to be nice. So here's 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Again, no chapters, but just look at what, so 12:31 says what? Desire earnestly the greater gifts. But I'll sell you marks on the way. Now we have 14:1. So here's literally the last verse before chapter 13. And then the first verse after chapter 13. What does Paul say? Pursue love, agape, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Isn't that crazy? So you have Paul, gifts is great. Chapter 12, verse 31. But I'll show you an excellent way. And then we have chapter 14, verse 1. He says, man, go after the gifts, but pursue love, right? See, somebody posted on Facebook the other day, like, why we get so caught up in debating and arguing about doctrine and all this stuff. And it's like, my gosh, why? Like, are there certain things that should be kind of like non-negotiables? And like, look, man, how do we feel? I talk to people, I'm like, how do you feel about the Holy Spirit? As long as we're good on the Holy Spirit and who he is and what he's doing, and how do you feel about Jesus and how do you feel about the Father, pretty much everything else we can get over. If you're pretty good on who God is in the Word of God, all that other stuff, we can grind it out. Is that all right? Let's read this chapter one more time. I'm gonna highlight something here. I will be shorter than I normally am, but I think it's good. This one's it's making me think, everybody. I hope it's making you think and examine your heart. Let's read this again. If I speak with tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Think about what Paul's saying there. If Mike was to just get on the drum kit right now and just take his stick and just smash a cymbal and just go smash, smash, smash. Josh is like, that's awesome. Anybody who likes Animal and the Muppets, drums, you know, right? But we'd be like, dude, that sounds awful, right? Or like, think about like those huge gongs, you know, that are like on the at like an Asian restaurant, you know, boom, like you're just standing in front of it, like, whoa. But think about the context. Paul's saying, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, he's not saying what you're saying is wrong. He's saying, I am actually speaking what is coming out of heaven. He's saying what you're saying is accurate. It's anointed. It's straight from the throne of God. But the thing that you're lacking is love. And because you don't have love, it's not wrapped up in love. People don't see your love, right? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? We know that, we throw that one around, right? He's saying, look, it doesn't matter how accurate what you're saying is. If they don't think you love them, they're not going to receive what you're saying, even though what you're saying is right. Anybody ever experienced that? Or is that just me? Right? You're like, why are they so mad? Amen. Verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy, here we go again, right? Know all mysteries and knowledge and have all faith, says to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. I'll tell you what, guys, one of the things Pastor Al, I'm pretty sure I've said this over the pulpit, but when I was training here under Pastor Al and Karen, Pastor Al, man, he drilled into me hard. Hard. Must have told me 100 times, if your church has 10,000 people in it and your family's a mess, you have failed. Is that right, Pastor Al? You have failed. Your first ministry is your home. If a man cannot manage his own household, how can he work in the house of God? Amen. Amen. If I give all, look at this. Here we have generosity, right? So we have prophecy, two verses about prophecy and speaking. Now we have a verse here that Paul's hitting about incredible generosity, even sacrifice. I mean, I can't wrap my head around. Every time I read this, I go, man, who would give their body to be burned and do it with some motivation other than love? But Paul says it's possible right here. We know Ananias and Sapphira, I'm going to assume that they gave a lot of money. Right, they sold some property and withheld some of the proceeds and gave, I mean, it's probably, they probably gave quite a bit of money, but their motivation was not love. And everybody say Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit killed them. Everybody say Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit killed them. Everybody say Holy Spirit. What does Peter challenge him? Why has Satan filled your heart and tempted you to lie to the Holy Spirit? Not to the Father, not to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. They drop dead. Boom. I mean, does the Holy Spirit kill them? Okay, whatever. They die immediately after lying to the Holy Spirit. Yikes. They were incredibly generous with a motivation other than love. Isn't that crazy? Come on, let's just raise your hand. We're getting right with Jesus today, everybody. Amen. How many of you have ever done something generously for somebody and had a motivation other than love? And I know it's not just me. For sure. How's that make you feel? Terrible. Kind of dirty, isn't it? Yep. You feel dirty afterwards. You're like, well, I did something good, but I wasn't good here. Right? I work with lots of folks now, and I say this over the pulpit too, but Our natural human tendency, my beloved, is to do things. I do something for this guy, and I expect something back. And then but I don't tell him what I expect. He's supposed to read my mind. Obviously, I thought you were anointed by the Holy Spirit. You don't know what I'm thinking? Come on, man. I thought you were a prophet. Right? And so then I get upset because he didn't do what I didn't tell him I wanted him to do in the time frame that I also didn't tell him. And now I'm offended. And he doesn't even know I'm offended because he actually didn't do anything wrong. He's fine. I'm mad. Church, you know what? Every single thing we do should have a string attached to it. It should be attached this way, not this way. Right? Philippians chapter 3, verse 23, 24. Do all things as unto the Lord, not for men, to please men. Next verse, which we never read, we never quote, the next verse says, because from the Lord you'll receive a reward. Right? If all we do is just say, well, just do it for the Lord, we go, well, that doesn't make any sense. But if you add the second verse on, why do we do it for the Lord? Because from God is where you get the reward. You go, oh, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. I'll do that now if I'm going to get something from God. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? I tell you what, myself and one other person in the church just recently, we both had exactly the same testimony. We helped somebody out financially, and both of us, within just days, we just helped this person out. We said, yeah, for sure, here you go. Here's X amount of money. Within days, both of us, myself and this other person got a gift card from their boss. They're working, their boss says, hey, come into my office for a minute. They come into the boss. The boss says, you need to take a long weekend. And by the way, here's a gift card. The boss. And the gift card was exactly the amount of money that this person had just given like 3 days prior to that. I'm the only person who knew how much they give, and I didn't call their boss. I gave a certain amount of money, helped somebody else out, completely irrelevant, completely disassociated, and the person like calls me up and said, hey, come here for a second. They hand me exactly the same amount of money as I had just given to this situation 3 days prior to that. Why? Because I gave it out of love. This other person goes, yeah, man, we love this person. We're going to help them out. Boom. Here you go. God will take care of it. Can I get amen, church? Amen. Is this all right? Now, let's look at this description of love again. And I want you to just think about, if you're married, think about your spouse. Cool. Think about your kids. But I want you to think about more, my beloved, this morning about brothers and sisters, whether they're in this building this morning, some of folks are online with us, or other Christians that we all know, right? You know, one of the things Paul says, he just says that we should do good to all people, but especially to those of the household of faith. Amen. We should be kind to everybody. We should be willing to bless anybody, but especially when we find brothers and sisters. Can I get amen? Amen. Right? So as we read these next few verses, then I'm going to highlight one more verse here, and we'll wrap it up. I want you to just look. Don't think about how somebody's coming at you. Think about how am I going out, right? Let me say this really quickly before I read this, because the Lord hit me with this morning. This is what he said to me as I was just spending some quiet time with the Lord. He said this. We need to love people with anticipation of how we want them to love us back. Right? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, right? We get that concept. He says, but here's what you do. You typically love others in reaction to how they've loved you. Right? Well, if you're going to talk to me like that, then I'll talk to you like that right back. That ain't kingdom. That's a kingdom. It's just not the good one. That's the kingdom of darkness, everybody. Right? You do me right, I'll do you right. You do me wrong, I'm going to do you wrong. My daddy said, I was growing up, he says, two wrongs don't make a right. Anybody ever hear that growing up from their parents? Well, he hit me first. Two wrongs don't make a right. Think about this, my beloved. We need to love people with anticipation that the love I give is going to come back to me. Now, again, maybe from that person, maybe not. But as I love people, love will come back to me. Is that all right? Chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient. Again, just close your eyes and hear this and listen and say, man, is this me? Is this how I treat my spouse, my kids, my brothers and sisters in the church? Because that's the context of this teaching from Paul, the church, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. It's not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly, right? It talking about self-control right there. It does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Church, I just recently had something come at me. 3 years ago, a very similar situation. I got all upset about it. Happened this time, I just went, whatever, it's fine. And the only way that I was able to do that is by spending some time in the quarry with God. I am tired of letting other people's behavior influence who I know that I'm supposed to be. Yeah? Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. Just that last phrase. Just close your eyes. Really, really just for a moment. And I'll put your name in there, in your heart, and just say your name. Mark never fails. Wow. Could you imagine that, church? I'm not going to quit. If there's gifts of prophecy, be done away with. There are tongues, they will cease. Knowledge will be done away with. We know in part, prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. Verse 11. Let me just touch on verse 11 for a few moments here. And I got one more thought, and then we're done. Look at this little section right here in the middle of this chapter, all about love. Look what Paul says. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, and reason like a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. I was reading this just recently again, maybe a month ago, and I just saw this particular verse, and it jumped out. I said, man, what a strange thing to say right here, until I realized what Paul's talking about. For the entire chapter, Paul is talking about how important it is to love particularly brothers and sisters in the church, and what an attack there is from the enemy on that truth. And then he talks about being childish. And I was like, ding, light bulb goes off. And Paul, you know what Paul's talking about? He says, most of us, I'm just going to look over here. Most of us, our love is very immature. It's very immature. Can I get amen? Amen. It's tough, church, but I'm telling you. The Lord gave me a word on unity just a few days ago. Some of you might have seen I did a little video on Facebook. We're going to be digging into that in a few weeks. But you know why unity suffers so much in the body of Christ today? Because we don't love each other. We don't love each other the way this is challenging us to. Right? I said last Sunday, I hang out with anybody in this church, you're going to drive me nuts, I'm going to drive you nuts. I love y'all. For real. Some of you drive me nuts a little faster than others, probably. Just saying. And I'd rub you wrong. Come on, is that all right?
Yeah.
Let's just be real. But when we allow that stuff to go, can you believe what that person, the devil's just rubbing his hands going like, yep, got another one. It's when we press through that stuff and go, man, I see God at work in this person's life. Doesn't mean we never address nothing. Can I get amen? Right? That's not what that means. But when it's just nitpicky little stuff, Paul warns us, be careful that you don't, be careful if you're going to focus on all these problems because you will devour each other. Right? Paul's saying, when I was a child, when I was immature, I used to speak to people in an immature way. I would think immature thoughts about these people. I would reason with people in an immature way. You know what? I cannot wait until I got no more toddlers in my house. Man. I'm like, I can't wait for you to turn 4. And then the day that kid turns 4, I'd be like, I can't wait till you turn 12. Dude. Anybody ever raise a 3? How about 3-year-olds? Man, are they just like, they're smart enough to know that they don't like stuff and they can scream about it. Dude. What morning was it? A few mornings ago, we're laying in bed. We're just waking up. It's literally 20 after 5. We're just awake. I'm awake, just laying there. And I hear the two little ones in the next room over. They're both blah, 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 blah. 3 seconds. They are screaming bloody murder at each other. 5:20 in the morning.
Nice. Yes! No! Yes! No! Yes! No! Don't hit me! Don't hit me!
Literally, Missy woke up. She's like, I'm going to kill somebody. I said, babe, I'll do it. Sorry. The Lord will forgive me. We took TV away for the whole day. They were pretty good the next morning. They were better. Almost done, church. Look at here's 1 Corinthians 16, just 2 verses here. Let's stand up right here. We're done. Look at this. I want to, and I will take 3 minutes on this. We're early. Look at that. Jesus' name. Yeah, take a picture. Look at this. Be on the alert. You know where else? Peter said tells us the same thing. Be on the alert because, and he's talking about the devil, right? Now here we have Paul. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like, everybody say it together. Men, be strong. Now, if you don't read the next verse, you could make a mess out of that one. Can I get amen from all the ladies? Act like men. But how does Paul describe acting like a man? Give me the next verse. Let all that you do. Everybody say all. Sounds inclusive to me, yeah? Let all that you do be done in love. Wow. So next time your spouse is rubbing you the wrong way, I mean, I know none of our spouses do that in this church, obviously. It's going out on Facebook in case anybody needs to hear that. Next time we need to discipline our kids because our kids need to be disciplined. Next time we see some conflict in the church to the point that we need to deal with it because sometimes we need to deal with that stuff. You want to act like, and when it says act like men, he's talking about being mature. Can I get amen? He's not talking about being manly, like DNA and chromosomes and all that stuff. He's saying, grow up. Mature. And here's what a mature believer looks like. Everything we do is to be done in love. I feel the Spirit of God right now, man. It's quiet today, but boy, church, this This right here, we are, and when I say we, I'm talking just body Christ, right? I talk to so many pastors struggling in their churches, people can't get along, all kinds of stuff. It's right here. This is why. Let's pray. Lord, similar to last week, right? I'm not saying we don't need spiritual gifts. Obviously, we need spiritual gifts. Just like last week, we need miracles, God. We need encounters with you. We need you to, like you did with Moses, you know, you hit him in the cleft of the rock and covered him with your hands so he didn't burn up. We need that. God, we need the body to rise up. We need every single person in River Valley, in that church up the street over that way, and this church down the street over that way. We need believers to rise up in the gifts that you have chosen to give them. But God, the more excellent way is that we need to love each other. We need to make a commitment. And the hardest part of that is when we decide we're going to do that, but then we don't feel like it's being reciprocated. And we get hurt, and we get betrayed, or we get, whatever. Somebody's talking about us or gossiping or whatever it might be. And we find out, and man, it hurts, and we say, I'm not going to do that anymore. But this is your call. This is your commission to us. Another spot Paul says to love each other as God in Christ Jesus loved you. What? Jesus hung on a cross for me when I would have spit in his face. And if that's how he loved me, then that's, and I'm called to love each other people like that, and particularly believers. Father, we pray this morning that you help us to see this, God. Lord, this today as we're going home and getting lunch or whatever we're doing, as we're getting up tomorrow morning and spend a little bit of time in the scriptures and in prayer. Father, I pray that you bring to our minds, Lord, thoughts we've had about other people that are just wrong. Things that we maybe have said about other people that are just wrong. And Lord, help us to see that you're calling us to be better than that. You're calling us to walk in an excellent way. In an excellent way, God. Lord, if there's conflict we have with someone in the church, I pray that we go to that person. If I've got a conflict with Bob, I don't want to go to Joe. I'm going to go to Bob. And I'm going to sit with Bob, and I'm going to pray with Bob, and I'm going to talk about kindly. There's no Bobs or Joes in our church, I don't think. But Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, all of us, God, myself included, that we hear this, and we see this, and we say that we make an earnest Our earnest prayer, God, I want to live like this. That my spiritual gifts, as we teach and rise up in our gifts, God, that our gifts are fueled by love. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Everyone said amen. 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 Anyone needs prayer? Man, we'd love to pray with you. If you were convicted by the message, don't run out. Come up here and spend a little time at the quarry with the Lord. Amen.